All right. Good morning, everybody. You have your Bibles. We're going to be in Matthew 17. And we had some visitors. I've seen some new fun faces. And so we're doing a sermon series on faith. Faith is the foundation of a Christian life. And we all have been given a measure of faith, according to the scriptures. But that doesn't mean that's all you got. Your faith can grow, your faith can strengthen. And so that's what we're looking at over this sermon series. Paul says to the Romans, faith comes from hearing, or comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes through the message of Christ. And so it's a good idea to get in the Word of God and read these stories of faith, read these stories of Jesus, and see our faith grow through that. And so we're in Matthew chapter 17, and it's got a famous faith line in here that everyone's heard, even people that don't go to church. Jesus told his disciples, "For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." That's probably the most famous statement about faith in the scriptures. Faith, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. So we're going to look at that this morning. And we're going to dig into that one verse. And then I want to read, there's two passages that precede it that set the context for it and really illuminate it for us. And so we're going to look at those here in a minute. But first, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll tell this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So there's three things there I want you to see about faith: the perception, the power, and the growth of faith. Now, Jesus loved word pictures. He loved parables. He loved illustrations. You know, my preaching professors would talk about illustrations. Literally means to throw light on something. And so it would, to illustrate it. And so he would do that all the times, to take one concept that was maybe a little difficult to understand and connect it to an easier concept to understand. And so that's just a good communicator. He does that. And so here he uses this. This is a metaphor that he's using. Faith the size of a mustard seed. And the most obvious point of this metaphor is the size contrast. Mustard seed is the tiniest of little things. A mountain, of course, is a giant immovable object. And he's wanting us to contrast the size of these things and how he's saying if you have faith, even if it's small like a mustard seed, it could move this giant mountain. Because nothing's impossible for him who believes. Our problems always seem bigger than our faith. Our problems always seem bigger than our faith. Our faith feels like mustard seed. Our problems look like mountains. But that's exactly the point that Jesus is trying to make to his disciples. He's challenging them with this. When we think, I don't have enough faith, my faith is too small, what we're seeing is that we don't really understand faith. So if I asked you to spend some time today and write down a list of your problems in life. And you might list a doctor's diagnosis. You might list a bill that hasn't been paid, that's late. You might list a boss that's a jerk. You might list kids that are in rebellion. You might list a marriage that's in trouble. And you'd see a mountain in front of you. You just wrote down a mountain, your mountain. But don't let that scare you, because Jesus says even the tiniest amount of faith is enough to move that mountain. And the reason is because of the power behind faith. And so you take your list and you show it to Jesus and you say, "Jesus, look at this mess. My faith's too small to handle this." You see, the power behind faith isn't the size of faith. The power behind faith is the God behind faith. Our faith is not in our ability to move mountains. We have no innate ability within us to move mountains. I mean, I can give you a shovel, and I'll check in with you by the end of your life, but you may make a dent in it. But we don't move mountains. We can't move mountains. Our faith is not in our ability to move mountains. Our faith is in God's ability to move mountains. And that's how small faith can handle big problems. That's why when we're up against mountains, we're not out of the game. There's power in faith because our faith is in God. Power's in faith because faith is in God. So the last point that I want you to catch is growth. Jesus could have used any small thing as an example and said, look how small this is, look how big the mountain is. But he didn't. He chose a seed as a metaphor because seeds don't stay seeds. They grow. And he wants us to understand that in the case of a tiny mustard seed, it does start out really small, very minute, but it can grow into a substantial tree, a mustard tree, and get really big. And Jesus wants us to understand that our faith is the same way. With proper care, with proper environment, though it starts out small, it can grow. And it can grow into something substantial. And so Jesus was telling his disciples this. This whole mustard seed metaphor, and he didn't just like throw it out there just so one day, you know, we can make Bible trivia games and talk about those types of things. He had a reason for it. He was in a very particular context that he wanted these disciples to understand this lesson. And I want you to notice in verse 20, when Jesus says, tell this mountain to move. Okay, he didn't say, tell a mountain. Or tell any old mountain. He says, tell this mountain. And so very likely Jesus is talking about and pointing at Mount Tabor. He says, you can tell this mountain, Mount Tabor, right here, to be moved. And the reason we know he was there, because we also call Mount Tabor the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus and his disciples, Peter, James, and John, were just on top of that mountain. They had literally just walked down the mountain, and Jesus met the disciples and told them about their mustard seed faith. So I want to go back up on top of that mountain, because that's where this whole faith lesson begins. We're in chapter 17 of Matthew, beginning in verse 1. And it says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up on the mountain by themselves. He was transfigured in front of them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. I'll set up 3 shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell down. They fell face down, and they were terrified. And Jesus came up, touched them, and said, get up, don't be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, don't tell anyone about this vision until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. All right, so there's a couple points, I think, that we can learn about faith in this passage. And the first is that faith is our bridge to heaven. Here they are on top of Mount Tabor, Mount of Transfiguration, and these 3 disciples get a glimpse of heaven. I mean, there's Jesus in his pre-incarnate glory. I mean, for a moment, the blinders came off and they saw Jesus for who he really was. He was transfigured. He shone before them and they were like, what? In the what? And then there's Moses. Dude's been dead a long time by now. And there's Elijah, also dead a long time. And they know, just like that, we're getting a picture of heaven. Now Paul tells us, he reminds us that down here, we walk by faith, not by sight. So it's not too often that we get to see heaven with our eyes. We don't typically get to see heaven with our eyes. I think from time to time, God gives us a picture. I'm convinced I've met angels down here, but it's not normal for me. I run into a lot more demons than I do angels, unfortunately. But we walk by faith, not by sight. So we take heaven on faith. We take eternity on faith. Because the Word of God tells us, because we've got a lot of evidence, but ultimately it comes to a position of faith. We believe that there is a God who loves us. We believe, as Pastor Jeff was telling us, that God has created each of us with a purpose in life. And that we're not just random. We believe that heaven is real, that eternity really does exist. We believe that we're more than just bags of DNA that one day are going to get planted in the dirt. In other words, we believe there's something to this. That heaven's real, that eternity's real. And some people out there will say, well, listen, that's a crutch. You need a crutch because you're having a hard time on this life, and so you're just looking forward to the next one. But I would say no, that faith is a bridge for those of us who know that life on earth isn't all there is. This ain't it. As good as it is from time to time, this isn't it. This is not heaven. Texas is as close as you're going to get. But it's not. It's a little too warm in the summers. Nebraska, close second, dear. I'm like, when you drive into the state and they got a big sign that says the good life. I'm like, you're trying too hard. Now you're trying to convince me. So. Yeah, right. Okay. Tejas means friend. Sorry. Anyway. So my point is, we believe there's more than just this. That God's created more for us than just this. And our bridge, our connection to eternity, our connection to heaven is faith. And one day, we'll no longer walk by faith. We will walk by sight. We'll be there. We'll be with Jesus. We'll be with Moses. We'll be with Elijah. We'll be with Peter. But until then, we walk by faith. And the second thing that I notice in reading this is that faith is moving. Faith is, it's never just static. It never just stays put. It's kinetic. Now, we all have moments like Peter, and I love Peter, and I really talked him up last week because he walked on water, and I thought, man, this guy is awesome. But he's also, he's funny. Anyway, we'll get to that in a moment, but We feel like Peter when we are at this moment, our faith is at its very highest. And maybe you've been there, you were at a church service or at a conference or something, and your faith was at its very highest, and you just feel like you're gonna burst. Just can't take it. It's so great. And we want to try to figure out a way to stay in that place. We've had some funny conversations on Monday mornings. After church service, right? Church service, the Holy Spirit shows up in a special way, and we say, let's find a way to do that again. Or sometimes we say, let's make sure we never do that again. But it's natural for us to get this spiritual high and then want to find a way to stay there. And totally natural. C.S. Lewis says that our souls are made for heaven like a lock is made, like a key is made for a lock. Key doesn't have any idea what it's used for until somebody puts it in a lock and it realizes this is why I'm here. The fit is perfect. It's made for me. And our souls are like that. God made our souls for heaven like that. And so it's natural for Peter to want to stay. He wants to keep things going the way they are. He says, I don't want to go back down. I want to stay here. You know, I'll build you a tabernacle. I'll build you a tabernacle. And I'll build you a tabernacle. We don't have to go anywhere. And then it's going to be great, and we'll stay up here forever. And, you know, we do that in the church. I don't know if you've spent much time in the church, if you've grown up in a church like me. You've seen it come and go through generations, you know, and one group says, well, if we could just do things like the book of Acts, and then another group says, if we could just get back to the good old hymns, and other people will say, if we could just get, schedule more revival meetings. It's just us trying to figure out how to get back to that mountaintop experience. But that's not life. That's not how faith works. Faith moves, things change, and eventually Jesus says, hey guys, get up. We got to go back down. And so you go back down the mountain. There's a third one that I think is important. Faith is the promise and the presence of God. The promise and the presence of God. Now, my friend Gerald Brooks says this. He says, the promise of God without the presence of God becomes stale. The presence of God without the promise of God becomes unproductive. And so we've been talking about that a lot as we've done this sermon series on faith. Our faith is built on both, on the promises of God found in His Word, but also on the presence of God. And so you can't have one or the other. Faith, in order to grow and be productive and life-giving, has to have both. We have to learn to practice the presence of God daily in our prayers, in our worship and things like that. But we also need to spend time in His Word building our faith in who He is and what He's taught us, what He's promised us. And so faith is the promise and the presence of God. And so the disciples here have a really amazing moment where they get to see both. They were in Jesus' presence as He's transformed. And then this cloud comes in and the voice of the Father speaks. And they hear it with their audible, they hear the audible voice with their ears. This is my beloved Son. Well, I'm well pleased. Listen to what He has to say for you. And so that's what you need. We need the presence of God, but we also need those promises of God to build our faith on. Number four, faith doesn't require perfection. So I'm going to repeat that one just for myself. Faith does not require perfection. Aren't you glad of that? Now, it's true, our faith is actually based on perfection, but it's God's perfection, not ours. Right? He is perfect, we are not. Otherwise, we'd be in trouble if it's based on our perfection. And so I mentioned a moment ago, Peter, this guy, I love him so much. Last week he's walking on the water. This week, he sees Jesus transfigured. He sees Moses and he sees Elijah having a conversation, and Peter interrupts them. Hey guys, what are y'all doing? What are y'all talking about? I got an idea about this. Listen, here's my theory. If you meet Jesus, Peter, and Moses talking, just be quiet. Just zip it. You have nothing to add to this conversation. And I know you're a great conversationalist. I'd love to go out to lunch with you, but just, if you're Peter at this moment, just listen. Because what are they talking about? Who knows? All we know is that Peter interrupted them. And then, you know, I told the kids when they were little, God gave you two ears, one mouth, listen twice as much as you talk. So that's what Peter should have done. But he doesn't. Instead, he interrupts him, and then he makes maybe the biggest understatement in the Bible. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Oh, man. And so it doesn't surprise me then that they're on the way down from the mountain, and Jesus says to Peter, hey, Pete, just don't talk about this for a while. Wait till later when you understand what's going on. All right, and number five, faith does not require hype. Faith does not require hype. It doesn't require crowds. There were crowds down at the bottom of the mountain. There were only three disciples with Jesus on the top of the mountain. So there's a lot of times in the Gospels where Jesus says what He said to Peter, and He repeats it, and He's done a great miracle, and then He says, don't tell anybody what's happened. Have you ever wondered about that? I mean, you always read that, and then you also know at the same time, yeah, that's going to happen. I just got healed, and I'm not going to tell everybody about it. And it doesn't usually work, but Jesus has a point. He's usually doing this because the time wasn't right for his name to start getting famous. But I think also there is a principle involved here that maybe a few televangelists could learn, and that is God doesn't need hype in order to do miracles. God doesn't need our faith to rise to a certain level in order to do a miracle. He doesn't need an offering sent in to do a miracle. Sometimes God just does what he wants to do in silence because he's God and he can do what he wants to do. When the Israelites marched around Jericho, Joshua commanded the troop, "Do not shout or let your voice be heard. Don't let one word come out of your mouth until the time I say shout. Then you are to shout." Pretty anticlimactic. I think we should have marched around yelling at him. Down with Jericho, down with Jericho. No walls, no peace. I don't know. I need more time to think about it. But Joshua said, hey, don't say a word. Don't say a word. And then in Exodus, Moses is even more explicit. He says, the Lord will fight for you and you must be quiet. That's a great verse. That should be, one of you kids need to get that tattooed on you. Well, my point is God doesn't need hype, right? He's God. He doesn't need hype. And so they're coming down the mountain, and they run into this man, and this is the next story of faith. There's a little conversation we're going to skip over. But then in verse 14, we come to this. When they reached the crowd, a man approached, and he knelt down before him. By the way, remember, we run into this a lot. This is the way to approach Jesus. Kneel before him. And he knelt down before him, and Lord, he said, I have mercy on my son because he has seizures, and he suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. And Jesus replied, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And then Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And from that moment, the boy was healed. Then the disciples approached Jesus privately, and they said, why couldn't we drive it out? Because of your little faith, he told them. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain to move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. All right, so there's two more points, I think, to be seen before we close here. Number one, faith is a bridge to others. Faith is a bridge to others. Now, I told you just a minute ago that faith is our bridge to heaven, to God, to eternity. That's what connects us to the Lord. When we come in here on Sunday morning and we're worshiping and we're connecting to him, our faith is that bridge. But it isn't all about us. God increases our faith so that we can minister to other people. So it's very important that Jesus is with James and John and Peter on the top of this mountain with those three disciples. But Jesus was desperately needed in that valley. Down in that valley, there's a demonized kid that falls into the lake. Falls into the fire pit. They need Jesus down there. He can't stay up on the mountain forever. And so I think God gives us glimpses of heaven from time to time in order to empower us to serve others in the valley. That we get to come here and we get to minister and we get to, in a sense, refuel because we got to go back down the hill to a, what did he call him? A perverse, unbelieving generation. And they need us. They need us to be Jesus' hands and feet. And so faith isn't just a means to get blessed. It is a means for us to bless others. And it starts with the right attitude. An attitude that says, God has done so much for me. What can I do for someone else? And don't you appreciate when you drive up onto our campus and you see the beautiful landscaping, or when you are warmly welcomed when you walk into the building, or there is coffee and breakfast waiting for you. So those are just examples. Those are not paid staff. Those are people who understand that their faith is a bridge to others. God's done something for them. They've got a gift. They want to use it to minister to others. And if you want to do that, we've got plenty of opportunities around here. And you can just contact us and let us know. But faith is a bridge to others, not just to God, but to connect us to others. And then the last point I'll make is that there will be mistakes and failures. So I already said, doesn't require perfection, so we can expect to make mistakes and fail. The disciples couldn't heal the boy. They tried. We don't know the whole story, but the man reached out to the disciples because Jesus wasn't there. They tried to do everything they'd seen Jesus do. They probably tried to pray the way they'd seen him pray or heard him pray. And nothing happened. But don't quit. Don't give up. Failures are a part of life for all of us. And Jesus' comment here to the disciples, really he's not rebuking the disciples as much as he's rebuking the generation, the culture that they're in. But it sounds pretty harsh. And then I read that Moses said almost the same thing to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 32:5. Moses said, his people, God's people, have acted corruptly toward him. This is their defect. If they are his, they are not his children, but a devious and crooked generation. All right, so Moses says that about God's people. And then Jesus says that about God's people. And I'm pretty sure the same indictment could be spoken to the church today. You and me. So the world we're in is crooked and perverse as ever. We can debate if it's more crooked or more diverse. I don't think they get you anywhere. We just know it's bad. It's been bad for a while, and it's not getting any better. The problem is God's people are impotent. And it's not because we lack psychology or methodology or legislation or technology or information or money. We lack faith. The one thing we need in a demonic world is what we lack. There's an old story of St. Thomas Aquinas, who was visiting Pope, I think it was Pope Innocent. And he happened to call on the Pope while the Pope was behind his desk counting out a large sum of money. And the Pope looked up and smiled and said, "You see, Thomas, no longer can the church say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" And St. Thomas replied, "That's true, Holy Father, but neither can she say, 'Rise up and walk.'" So we've lost the power of faith. Jesus tells his disciples, "Listen, guys, you need to step up your faith game, because I won't be here forever. And you will need to do this on your own one day when I'm not physically present." And I appreciate the disciples here asking the tough question. They pulled Jesus aside and they said, "Hey, we tried everything. We did everything we've seen you done. Why couldn't we do it?" And they wanted to know, why couldn't we do it? They may have failed, but they wanted to grow. And that's the key. Because we will see them in the book of Acts, and they would grow, their faith would grow, and it wouldn't be long till demons are running from them. And Jesus is not there. That's what we talked about last week, learning from our mistakes, learning on the second boat ride. And so it's at this point that Jesus now explained faith in comparison to a mustard seed. See, it's easy to have faith when Jesus is around. That's mustard seed faith. Problems don't seem nearly as big when Jesus is around. There's no shortage of power when Jesus is around. Every day is a growing and learning experience when Jesus is around. But what Jesus was wanting his disciples to learn was how to have faith when he wasn't nearby. That is mountain-moving faith. And that's the faith they would need to change the world. That's the faith we need to take on this culture that we're in. They had faith. It was just that their faith needed to grow. Their faith needed to strengthen. And obviously the same thing applies to us. We need faith on days when it seems you don't know where Jesus is. There's some days Jesus feels like he's right at your elbow. There's other days you feel like you were in a crowd and got lost. Those are the days we need to grow in our faith. And so we need to remember those promises of God. We need to practice the presence of God. We need to spend time with the people of God. And when we do, our faith will grow, even when it starts out the size of a mustard seed. So let's pray. Would you stand with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for the example in your word. May we apply it to our lives this week, Lord. I thank you that today when we came and we shared communion with you and with the body of Christ and we worshiped you and we were at the foot of your throne and hearing from you. And we caught just a tiny little glimpse of heaven. But Lord, we want to go back down the mountain and we want to be a bridge for others. For others that their keys made for a lock, they just haven't found the lock yet. They have a purpose. They are loved. They have just haven't heard yet. And so, Lord, we want to tell them. We want to be a part of your team, your family that tells them those things. So we're asking, Lord, to grow our faith. Asking you, Lord, to empower us. Strengthen us. And so, Lord, let us not take for granted your presence, and let us not move past your promises, Lord, but those two things would give us a life-giving, powerful, world-changing faith. And so, Lord, I know in this room right now, we talked about writing out your list, like writing out a list of our mountain issues, and I know there are some huge mountains in this room. And our mountains seem bigger than our faith. But you encouraged us in that. And so, Lord, we're like the disciple that says, we believe, help us in our unbelief. We're bringing today to you a mustard seed of faith. Would you grow it into something significant? We would like to say to that mountain, be moved. Be gone. We put all our faith in you, Lord, because you are a mountain-moving God. You are the God that overcame the grave. You can certainly overcome mountains in our lives. So I ask, Lord, that you would do that. Empower us, Lord, as we go. Give us opportunities to minister. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we are so grateful that you are here. We're going to have prayer ministry team down here. If we can pray for you, you're online, check out newlifedenton.org/prayer, and we would love to pray for you. Let us know. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. God bless you. Have a great week.